Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today, A.J. Foyt joins us on the show. No. All right.
I wasn't buying it for a minute. You know how I knew? If A.J. Foyt were on the show, it was because I set it up. And I knew I didn't set it up.
You never know.
Well, that's true. You have surprised me in the past.
Yeah, often. Let's go and have some thunderstorms this afternoon, so get ready for that.
Are you predicting that because you're seeing it now, or...
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought. This was not an Oracle-style prediction. This was an I can see it now, so I'm passing it along.
Yes. Charlie Wilmoth, BucksDugout.com. We'll talk about the Pirates. We might as well just, talk about a team that gets it done. We'll talk about them. But then we're also going to have on my good friend Jonathan Mayo from MLB.com, who is about as much of an expert on the baseball draft as anybody I know. And we'll have Jonathan on to talk about how well the Phillies drafted, how well the Pirates drafted. We'll also get a little bit about the Cardinals only because the Spikes play here in State College. And there's some people in our area in the Valley that have come over to Medlar Field, Lebrano Park, and have enjoyed the trip. And we'll talk about some of the prospects. Now, for example, Harrison Bader is playing for Florida right now. He's the third. He was the 100th player taken in the draft, third round by the Cardinals. He's coming here. But we'll talk about how well the Phillies drafted, because that's going to be one of the roots back for this franchise is the draft. I'm going to talk to Jonathan Mayo about that in depth. And that'll be coming up at 4:06 today. Looking forward to having him on the show. Also tomorrow, we'll have our weekly chat with Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, but for the Phillies, their trip back is going to be a combination of what prospects can they get, because Cole Hamels is now definitely on the market. Left-handed starting pitcher who, by the way, when the money's on the table, is really good. Really good. He's proven that over and over again when he's had his opportunities in postseason. He takes the ball and he delivers. Well, a left-handed starting pitcher who's really good to begin with and also pitches really well when you need it is a hot commodity.
Only one problem right now, though. Cole Hamels is going to miss Friday's start against the Cardinals. A hamstring issue is the last we heard.
Yeah, I really wouldn't worry too much about it. Okay. Is it July 31st yet?
Or is
right now June 18th? So it doesn't really matter if he misses the start coming up with the hamstring pull.
Well, and you're right. If it's one start, it's not a problem. If it's three starts,
it's not a problem. If it's four starts, it's not a problem. It doesn't matter. Okay, you're going to make the deal before July 31st. I mean, even if it's something that makes him miss four starts, he'll probably have two or three starts before they make a deal. It's June 18th. It's not July 31st.
Am I panicked? Do I sound panicked? I'm not panicked.
Nine times out of ten, yes.
Now, do you want to know the thing? Do you know what actually has me a little bit panicked? His replacement is Felipe Amat.
Okay.
That is what has you a little concerned, because he has not pitched fantastic in the starting spot.
Only Aaron Harang and Cole Hamels and Jonathan Papelbon are the only three pitchers that they can deal and get something for. Okay? That's it. They can't deal anybody else to get something for them. Just can't. It's as, you know, simple as that. I mean, that's a really bothersome part, is that the Phillies don't have a lot to deal.
No.
Not good. Not good. The U.S. Open Golf Championship continuing at Chambers Bay. The ones that are going to be teeing off this evening, I've got a feeling might struggle a bit. And here's my reason why. The reason I think they might struggle a bit is that as the day, you know, they water the course overnight. Yeah, and they have said, and the USGA says, hey, look, we are going to be watering the course. So, I mean, they've been very blunt about that. But as they go through this, the course is going to dry out and it's going to become rock hard, which means the greens are going to become rock hard. That's going to make it very difficult to stop the ball where you want, and it's going to be very difficult to putt. Now, the group that's playing now, they get the afternoon round tomorrow, so it gets flipped. So the scores you're seeing now, Dustin Johnson at 4 under par, Patrick Reed's at 3 under, Kevin Chappell, Cody Gribble, Hideki Matsuyama, and Matt Kuchar all at 2 under par, Phil Mickelson, Adam Scott, Henrik Stenson, Francesco Molinari, Colin Montgomery, and Jim Furyk at 1 under. There might be one or two more names you can add to that list that will be under par when this thing is done for the day. But I don't think there's going to be more than maybe two guys in the evening round, what we will call the evening round, because the afternoon round there. Because what, it's a quarter after 12 there. They're not going to be able to, I think, post a score because of course condition. I just don't think so. Mickelson had it to 3 under par, then he double bogeyed 13. He's steadied down since, and he is now playing the 17th hole. We're also now accepting odds of whether Tiger Woods hits the fairway in his first drive. Sounds cruel, but You know what he should work on? The Kevin Herr fade.
It's not a fade. It's a drift.
No, yours is a flat-out slice. Yours is a flat-out slice.
Some have also called it a bender.
Well, that's what some of us go on after playing around with you, but that's all right.
Maybe that's how it got the name. I don't know.
Remember when we played golf and you told me that you'd thrown all of your assets and money into a Greek bank? And I told you I thought that was a bad idea. We'll come back with more in a moment. You see the headline, Greek banks may not open Monday? If I were you, I'd withdraw now.
It was such a good deal. I don't get it.
Says the European Central Bank told a meeting of Eurozone finance ministers today that it was not sure if Greek banks, which are suffering large daily deposit outflows, would be able to open on Monday. I kept telling you, I don't think I'd do that. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
All three deals are neck and neck as they come down to the finish line, and they're all tied at 19. 19, 9, 15. Looks like at SMC, everyone's a winner.
It's the Sunbury Motors Ford Triple Crown of Savings. Choose from either a new 2015 Ford Escape or the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion or a 2015 Ford Focus equipped with heated leather seats and a power moonroof for an amazing price of $19,915. You heard right. A new 2015 Ford Escape, a 2015 Ford Fusion, or top-of-the-line Ford Focus for just $19,915. Sunbury Motors has over 250 new Fords available with savings up to $10,000 and interest rates as low as 0% for up to 72 months.
View the entire inventory online at sunburymotors.com.
The Triple Crown Sale won't last long, so hurry in to Sunbury Motors. Satisfying more customers and selling more cars for over a century. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Coming up, Charlie Wim with BucksDugout.com. Talk about how the Pirates have been able to go 20-5 over their last 25 games. They've won 20 of their last 25. Last night, they had their shutout string broken and still won 3-2. And we'll talk to Charlie about recent Pirates success. And then Jonathan Mayo, MLB.com, to join us to talk about how the team's drafted. We'll get in-depth on the Phillies draft, players that are years away, but just some general thoughts on what they were able to do in their draft. I kid Jonathan all the time. I said, you know, because Jonathan does TV, baseball TV broadcasts with me. And he's a perfect guy to have in a minor league television broadcast because we're talking about getting to know players that a lot of people don't know about. And I always tell him, I said, I feel like I can throw any name out there and you're going to give me. He goes, well, I don't know about that. I said, look, you at least give me the perception you do. Well, we'll throw some names out to him as to how the Phillies drafted and a little bit on the Pirates and some of the Cardinals as well. And the only reason I mentioned the Cardinals draft is because the Spikes are a Cardinals affiliate. And we'll talk about that. Because, look, for the Phillies to get back, I started to say this before Kevin jumped in and was all upset about how the Phillies are playing and I had to talk him off the ledge again, is that there's a combination of things that will get them back on track. Number one, they're going to have to make good trades here with their veterans. They are going to have to probably find the right combination of free agents when that rolls around. And the other part is how well that they've drafted and how these players get through the system. As Chris Wheeler was talking about last week, they went down to Reading and took a long look at Roman Quinn. Roman Quinn's going to be a good player, I think, for the Phillies down the road. The speed he brings to the table is something you can't put a price on, and he'll play shortstop. It's not as if he can't play second base. He can, and we all know Galvis can play second base. Galvis is probably a better defensive shortstop than Quinn, but Quinn has better offensive potential, and Quinn's speed is a difference maker. That's the kind of guy that you get through your system that's going to help you out. Now, they have to find some power in the system. They've tried drafting some power, and the power position that they've tried to draft over the years has always been at first base. Yeah, Michael Franco certainly is a guy that they drafted that brought some power to the table as well. But we will talk with Jonathan about how well they drafted. And that'll be coming up. Obviously, there's nobody they drafted that's going to help them next week. In fact, to make it fair, they're going to have a 3-game series with the Rochester Red Wings. Just to, no. Kidding. I'm telling you, when they get back to being good, you're going to appreciate it.
No question about it. I forgot what it feels like.
That's why you're so all in on the Steelers.
It's the only thing that's got a shot right now.
It's so, you know, it's... And they're exciting to watch because every game is now 42-40.
At least there's an offense, you know.
Oh, I know how you watch games. Come on. They score. Yeah, all right. Then the whole, oh, like, oh, no, they gave up points.
It's more like, really? Can somebody please cover the wide receivers?
Admit it.
Anyone.
During a game, you're a basket case.
Oh, nobody wants to watch a game with me. I admit it.
You need a man cave. That's
my wife sits there and goes, they can't hear you. Doesn't matter.
And exactly what advice are you giving them?
The one was, see that guy on the outside where nobody's near him? You may want to put a man on him and cover him. It's called a wide receiver. He usually catches footballs. That's when Daniel comes out and says, even I know that.
You are a bitter soul. Wow, you're bitter.
I wasn't. I mean, there were a couple of years where I was happy quite a bit.
Well, the one year you stole it, and then the one year you're really good?
Yeah, the one year they stole it, right. That was the year. That was the year. You can call it you want. There's a ring on their fingers.
My late mother, who loved football. And they're playing, it's Pittsburgh and Seattle, so I can guarantee you in no uncertain terms, she has no dog in the hunt. The only thing she knew about Pittsburgh was that I worked with Jack Ham. All right? Called me up after the game that night. She says, Steve, that's the worst officiated football game I've ever seen in my life. Just called me out of the blue. I said, yeah. I said, the fans here, I think, will take it. She said, well, that's a disgrace. I said, I know it is. I know it is.
We weren't proud of it, but we were fine.
I mean, that was my mother who said that. I didn't say that. She said it. No offense if she noticed it right away.
Don't care. Rings came out that following September.
Yep, you and the Super Bowl V Baltimore Colts. Still counts.
It's still a W.
Sort of set the game back a little bit, but that's all right. Now, when they beat Arizona, that was quite a football game.
That was an entertaining end to the first half. I needed oxygen as well after the interception return for a touchdown.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
My man, my good friend Lawrence, loves that app. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. One more day for Kevin to drive this great Sunbury Motors vehicle before, while begging on his knees, they rip the keys out of his hands tomorrow.
That sometimes happens. It's not pretty, but it sometimes happens. Especially
I can imagine. I can imagine it's not pretty. That certain things are assumed by the audience.
Well, it's easy to fall in love with the Kia Optima in general, but then when you throw in the hybrid and realize the gas mileage in the mid 30s and 40 as you go take a beach trip or a vacation trip this summer, makes it even better. And then you look in the trunk and see, wow, there is a lot of luggage space and trunk space for a hybrid vehicle. And then you sit in the seats, and then you get really comfortable. And you feel the leather-wrapped steering wheel, and you feel your fingers just kind of mold right into the steering wheel. And then you start driving it. You realize how smooth the ride is. And then you look at the sticker price and see $6,500 off, making it $21,821 for the 2014 Kia Optima Hybrid, and realize you could be the first person to own this and save a ton of money. Yeah, maybe they'll have trouble taking the key fob out of your hand, too, and you'll just want to hit the push button starting to head home. Find out more at Sunbury Motors, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. That's where you find the Kia dealership. And you also see more information at sunburymotors.com on my Facebook page, or follow me on Twitter at Kevin Herr.
Okay, that's an awesome vehicle. And this will be one that Kevin turns in that will not have mustard and ketchup all over it, from also envisioning Kevin eating a hot dog in the vehicle and watching something fall to the floor.
No. No danger of that happening.
I can't eat this. I can't eat in the car. I can't do this. See, that's how you've lost weight.
I stopped eating in the car.
You stopped eating in the car. It's a Sunbury Motors car. I got to return this car in pristine shape. Which is good. Tom and the gang, what a great dealership. All right. Pirates have won 20 of their last 25. Charlie Wilmoth, BucksDugout.com now joins us. Charlie, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me back on.
20 of 25 after a really lackluster start. When did you get a sense when this little streak started that they finally had figured a few things out?
I don't know if it was anything in particular. When they swept the Giants at the beginning of the month, that
yes.
felt pretty big to me. It seems like in the past month, a lot of what's been motivating their streak is they've just played a lot of teams that are not all that good. And even the better teams they've played have been flawed teams. There hasn't been a lot of Cardinals or Dodgers on their schedule. But sweeping a good team in the Giants, even if it's a team with a fair number of flaws, that seemed pretty big to me, and that's when it sort of struck me that maybe this actually is a playoff team after all this year.
Let's discuss the pitching for a moment. Obviously, they have some parts in place. What has impressed you about their approach on the mound?
Well, I guess it's different for different guys. With someone like Gerrit Cole, for example, it's his ability to bear down when he gets into a little bit of trouble, and when he's backed into a corner, to sort of snap back. But just in general, I mean, it's the same formula it's always been, or it's been for the last several years with the Pirates pitchers, which is get lots of ground balls, don't make mistake pitches, throw inside. They continue to do that this year, and that continues to be a really successful formula for them.
Yeah, Charlie Morton's been able to get in there. Not only that, he has pitched brilliantly dating back to last season at PNC Park. What has worked for him? What's allowed him, Charlie, to be more consistent compared to the Charlie Morton we saw in previous years?
Well, he's only pitched 33 innings so far this year. He has an ERA of 1.62. I think if you look at the underlying numbers, specifically the very low strikeout rate, that's not likely to last. And he's basically the same pitcher he's been before. He's very heavily reliant on the ground ball, which, of course, is a very good thing. But it will mean that he's probably going to have his fair share of starts where people hit grounders and they just trickle through in between infielders. That hasn't really happened so far this year, but I think it probably will at some point.
Andrew McCutchen then hit the gas pedal and has been hitting. Has that relaxed the entire lineup in a lot of ways, knowing that the big gun is just that, the big gun?
Maybe. That might have an effect, but I hesitate to say how big that effect is, especially when you look at some of the other players on the team over the past month. It's not just McCutchen who's producing. It's also Francisco Cervelli, who has a 461 OBP over the past 28 days, a It's also Josh Harrison has been great during that time. It's Jung Ho Kang. And so it's really a lot of guys who have come together, and I hesitate to say that they're purely coming together just because McCutchen has started hitting. I mean, really, it's strange. In the past few seasons, it's really seemed like June is the year when the offense gets things going. I kind of wonder if the weather might be a big part of it.
Well, let's talk about Cervelli for a moment, because I personally felt, and I talked about this many times on my show, that I would never have paid Russell Martin that money. Never would have, and I completely agree with the Pirates' decision not to go that route. But I also felt he'd be a big loss because of how he handled the pitchers, the intangibles he brings to the table, get, you know, clutch hitting. When you watch Cervelli, what's made him a more than capable replacement that has allowed the Pirates actually to flourish beyond the plate?
Well, he's hitting like crazy. I mean, there's no way around that. I think what I expected from Cervelli is that he would be a capable replacement for Martin behind the plate. That is, defensively, he'd be pretty good. He'd be very good with his work with pitchers, and he's been that. But I didn't expect he would hit so much, and I also didn't expect he would be consistently healthy as he has been so far this season. I mean, this is one of his first seasons in a while where he hasn't been interrupted by injuries in some way. So probably that's having an effect. Probably also having a crazy high batting average on balls in play. He has a batting average on balls in play of 396
wow.
so far this season, which is ridiculously high, which is going to come down. But overall, I mean, it's his offense that's been the difference.
Some of the money that they didn't give to Russell Martin, they took and invested it in several other players, Cervelli being one, but Jung Ho Kang would be the other one. They had to pay $5 million just for the negotiating rights. He homered last night. As a total unknown, I don't think anybody knew what to expect. What do you think of him?
I think that he was a cheap gamble of a sort that you rarely get to take. So you look at players who are coming from new talent pools coming into the big leagues. You go back to Ichiro 15 or so years ago. You go back to Jose Abreu from Cuba a couple of years ago, or Yasiel Puig. Major league teams have gotten an awful lot of success by taking the best players from a talent pool that they haven't previously had access to. Gong is exactly that kind of player. He was the best, pretty much the best player in the top Korean league last year, and there haven't been many players like that who are the best players in a top professional league somewhere. So for the Pirates to get him at a fairly cheap price, $16 million, it sounds like a lot to you and me, but it's practically nothing by baseball standards. And really, I mean, he's produced 1.3 wins above replacement so far already. I mean, he has almost produced enough just in this past 2 months to justify the entire contract.
What has allowed Josh Harrison to be the table setter he is?
Well, he needs to hit for very high batting averages, which wasn't happening for him at the beginning of the season. He was probably pressing a little bit to justify his contract, but in the past month or so, it really has been mm-hmm. happening for him. So in the past month, he's batting 346. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for him, a guy who doesn't walk much, he's not an archetypal table setter, but when he's hitting for very high averages, which he did in his minor league career and which he did last season in the majors, then he's very effective in that role.
All right, so moving forward, they've put a lot of pressure on the Cardinals. They were able to at least pick up a game last night, which in this tremendous run has not been easy to do because the Cardinals have been playing at such a high level. What concerns do you have about the Pirates? I'm sure the list is not very long, but where they can be better to then make that jump?
Well, I mean, it's very difficult to make up a five game. So if they're five games behind the Cardinals, it's tough to make up that difference against a very good team like the Cardinals, even one that has had the troubles with injuries that they've had recently. So it's going to be tough. And, you know, looking around the Pirates and the way they're playing right now, it's really hard to identify weaknesses. I mean, Corey Hart is an obvious weakness. And replacing him and his bench role with somebody who does something would help somewhat. But again, that's just a bench player. A lot of their position players are rounding into form. I don't know if I necessarily see them going out and getting an upgrade on Pedro Alvarez, mm-hmm. who has been one of their weaker players so far this year. So it's going to be tough for them at the trade deadline if people continue to play as they have for them to upgrade.
When you watch Gerrit Cole, what are we now seeing in him? Where has he matured on the mound that's allowed him to be a number one?
His control is slightly better. He's striking out slightly more batters. I think his location is a little bit better than it's been in the past. I think his pitch sequencing is a little bit better than it's been in the past. And as I mentioned earlier, I think he's just been, his talent is such that he can hold something back and still be really good. And then when he gets into trouble, when he gets a couple of runners on base, then he can rear back and throw those 99 mile an hour fastballs that are really perfectly placed and that are really, really hard to hit. And so I think his ability to reach for that little something extra when there's trouble really separates him.
A.J. Burnett's in his 17th season in the majors. In his previous 16, only 9 of them, he's been over 500 on the mound. What is he doing now that's allowed him to possibly be on track to his first ever All-Star game?
He's never made the All-Star game. I didn't know that. That's interesting. I mean, he's been, you know, one of the best pitchers in the National League at various points early in his career, and then in the American League when he was with the Blue Jays in a couple of seasons. So that's interesting that he's never made one. He's way more of a ground ball pitcher now. He was not as much of a ground ball guy before. Now he's relying very, very heavily on the sinking fastball to generate a lot of ground balls. And when you couple that with the situation in Pittsburgh that is so favorable, a situation that is so favorable to ground ball pitchers, both because the ballpark is really good, and also because the Pirates' defensive strategy is so strong.
Yes.
It's a really good recipe for him. And I know that he had health issues last year, but I think it is still striking the difference between how he did in the Phillies, which was a much less favorable situation compared to how he did with the Pirates in 2013 and how he's doing with the Pirates this year.
Bullpen-wise, Melanson's been terrific. Watson, but it seems like they've been able to, again, do a great job of cobbling together a bullpen that has... Are they turning these into six-inning games now because of the bullpen?
Given how shaky the bullpen was at the beginning of the season, I hesitate to say that's true, but it certainly has seemed that way.
Yeah.
Melanson's been great. Yes. Recently, I'm still a little bit skeptical of him because his strikeout rate has remained so low, although his velocity has mostly come back from the beginning of the season when it was way off and he's getting so many ground balls. And then it's not just, I mean, it's Watson too, but it's also Jarrett Hughes. It's also Archimedes Caminero.
Mm-hmm.
It's also been Rob Scahill. So, to have all these guys who are performing at a fairly high level over the past month or so, yeah, it's been really big for the Pirates.
All right. Now moving forward with it, you mentioned that the weather's warmer, they're playing better. How much fun has it been at the ballpark, you know, just to see the atmosphere of it? Because, look, we know for 20 years what it was like. I mean, Philadelphia fans right now are going through something where after riding high for a while, something tells me the next time they win, they're really going to appreciate it. How much appreciation are you seeing in that ballpark now because of how great this team is playing?
Oh, a lot, of course. And I think to me, selfishly, some part of me liked the fact that it was so dreary, you know, until a few years ago.
I hear you.
That, you know, that you would go to a game and there would be 3,000 people there, and the people who were there were the really hardcore fans, and you could sort of put your feet up on the seat, the empty seat in front of you, and not really feel the presence of anyone else around. I kind of like that, but of course for the team, what's best is the success they're having, and it is, you know, certainly much more exciting to go to the ballpark now.
No question. Hey, Charlie, I always enjoy the talks very much. Thanks so much for your insight. Everyone appreciates it.
Thank you for having me.
Charlie Wilmoth, BucksDugout.com. Kevin goes through the complete analysis of the interview, including overcoming Philly's depression, in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, Ryan Howard hit a two-run homer today, his 12th of the year, and that was it. The Phillies beat the Orioles today 2-1. The Orioles, after the game, then cut the entire team. No?
If they would have lost the series, then they may have done that.
2-1 they won today. Meanwhile, Joe Mauer tied the game with a home run in the eighth inning. And then Vargas was able to get a walk-off game winner to give the Twins a win today over St. Louis. As Kenny Vargas knocked in the game winner in the ninth inning, they beat St. Louis 2-1. So the door's open for the Pirates to pick up another game tonight. Colorado leads Houston 3-1, bottom of the second inning. Angels in Arizona, they are scoreless at the top of the second. And at the U.S. Open, the story is Dustin Johnson. He is at 6-under par. 6-under par. He is scorching this course at Chambers Bay. An outstanding round for a guy who dominated Pebble Beach and then had a terrible final round. He is three shots. He's not even done yet, by the way. Johnson isn't done. He's at 6-under now playing his 17th hole, which is the eighth hole. He started on the back nine. Henrik Stenson's at 3-under, now playing 16. Patrick Reed's at 3-under, playing his 15th hole today. Cody Gribble is currently the clubhouse leader, but he's not going to have that for long. He shot a 2-under par 68. Phil Mickelson shot a 1-under par 69. Mickelson played really well today, except he had a double on 13. That's the one mistake he made. Francesco Molinari at 2-under, now playing 16. Matt Kuchar is at 2-under par, playing his 17th hole. He started on the back nine today. Kevin Chappell's fallen back to 1-under. Adam Scott's at 1-under. Colin Montgomery's at 1-under. Nick Hardy, the amateur, is at 1-under. Bubba Watson shot an even par 70 today. Angel Cabrera, even par 70. Cabrera always plays his best golf on the toughest courses. Hideki Matsuyama's at the even par. Sergio Garcia, even par. Jim Furyk's even. Rory McIlroy's even. And Tiger Woods is currently six shots back because he hasn't teed up yet. All right. But Dustin Johnson, 6-under par. He pars out. Now, he started on the back nine, so he's playing 8 and 9 right now is his final two holes. And he has an opportunity to shoot 64.
Mickelson was playing really well early on and then had a struggled, I guess, on the back a little bit, the way it sounds.
Okay, as I said, Mickelson doubled 13. That's the one mistake he made. What he did was on the back, he bogeyed 10, but he came back, he birdied 12, and he doubled 13.
And that sounds like he struggled on the back.
Yeah, except he birdied 12. He got himself back to 300.
Well, and that's great. I'm just saying, the last I saw, he was struggling on the back.
This is the U.S. Open. Okay. Okay. This is not the one with the windmills that you play.
By the way, the odds on Tiger Woods winning it, 50-1.
He's not going to win it.
I wouldn't put a buck on that.
He's not going to win it. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I think a bet you have to consider with him is whether he makes the cut. Okay? That's not winning it. That's whether or not he makes the cut. It's not his time.